Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Jermaine Defoe!
Wrong!
Like my first season getting called a one season wonder and all stuff like that.
Who called you that? You got a name? Which pundit called you a one season wonder? Was it me?
You're hurt. It's obvious. You're a Man United fan, you're hurt.
No, I'm not hurt.
City
obviously, my team's
crap. Every week and you're hurt.
I feel like Jerry Springer here.
Sent off for a stamp on Gareth Southgate.
Yeah, and he deserved it.
I've never lost a fight.
Think you ever will?
I don't think I'll ever lose a fight, no. I don't think I will. I don't think there's nobody out there to beat me.
That's not true, it's belly. Big belly.
The only time I'll go on to bed with a dick.
No.
Does it annoy you? I mean, I've fallen into a trap myself in the last 10 years beyond television, this perception of Tottenham, when you are tough, you are a leader, you are resilient, you're an unbelievable player, score long goals, and then you get people calling the club, whether it be flaky, you know, bottle it in big moments, that must really annoy you, it's someone like you.
Yeah, no, it's hard to hear, if I'm totally honest, you know. Like you say, we've been so close and things could have been a lot different, but I understand, obviously, we haven't got over the line as a club. We haven't won things. We haven't been dominant when you could say we've probably had the best team we've had for a very, very long time. But for sure, you hear them comments and they kind of eat at you a little bit inside. But
did they bite you? Did they?
Yeah, they almost get you going a little bit. You know, it's almost trying to prove people wrong. And that's been kind of me my whole career in all aspects, really. Like my first season getting called a one-season wonder and all stuff like that.
Who called you that? You got a name? Which pundit called you a one season wonder?
You
it wasn't
might,
me.
You might have called me that one day.
It wasn't me. I put you on corners, but I didn't call you a one season wonder.
No, I mean, but no, all stuff like, for me, obviously you've known me through England and stuff. Yeah. I almost not like that pressure, but you know, it gets me going and it brings out the best in me. And yeah, when you hear stuff about your club, it's never easy. Of course, I know what it's like working day in, day out, playing with the players, working hard in the gym, in training to try and win stuff, to try and win trophies. Of course, it hasn't happened, but it don't mean we're not working as hard as anyone else. As a club, we just haven't been able to get over the line. But I mean, look, it's been some amazing moments, some amazing years for the club. So there is some positives there, but of course, my profession is about winning. I want to win. So it for sure grates at me that we haven't done that.
What's most important to you?
For me, I don't want to have come to the end of my career and have any regrets. So I want to be the best I can be. I've said before, I'd never say I'd stay at Spurs for the rest of my career. I'd never say that I would leave Spurs. I'm at that stage where you could say, you know, people might look at it as, oh, he's desperate for trophies, he needs trophies. I still feel like I've got almost another career to play. I've got 7-8 years, kind of what I've had so far in the Premier League. So I'm not rushing anything. I'm not desperate to do anything. But yeah, I just want to be the best version of me. And I feel like, for sure, I've still got so much more to give. I feel like I can be even better than what I've been. I can produce better numbers than what I'm producing at the moment. So
can you?
I feel like I can. I've said before, and people are like, I'm someone who, I'm not afraid to say I want to be the best. I'm not afraid to say I want to try and get on the level that Ronaldo and Messi got to. Yeah. You know, that's my ultimate goal. That's my aim, is to be winning trophies season in, season out, scoring 50, 60, 70 goals season in, season out. And that's the standard I want to set myself, because I feel like if I give myself anything lower, then I might get to the end of my career and be like, actually, I could have maybe done a little bit more. I could have scored a few more goals. So that's my drive. The pressure from myself is always bigger than what anyone else can put on me. And like I said, I still feel like I've almost got another career to go and achieve what I want to achieve.
Is that crossroad moment coming for you?
I think so. I think it's definitely a conversation to be had with the club. Yeah, like I say, I want to be playing in the biggest games, the biggest moments. Like this season, I'm there watching the Champions League, watching the English teams in there doing amazing, and they're the games I want to be involved in. I want to be in them games. So for sure, it's a moment in my career where I have to kind of reflect and see where I'm at and have a good, honest conversation with the chairman. And I hope we can have that conversation. And yeah, I'm sure he will want to kind of set out the plan of where he sees it, but ultimately it's going to be down to me and how I feel and what's going to be the best for me in my career at this moment in time.
I've obviously witnessed Alan Shearer's career and it almost mirrored mine in some ways. I never thought anybody would get near his record, and I never thought anybody, to be fair, would go past Wayne Rooney's record, but you will. What can stop you?
I guess injuries would be the biggest thing. Obviously, I've had injuries, ankle injury, and I haven't had anything that's kept me out for months and months, touch wood. But yeah, I guess for me, I think injuries would be the biggest thing. Of course, it's always the option of maybe moving abroad one day, but I don't think that's really interests me in the near future. So yeah, injuries, I guess, in my mind would be the only things. But like I said, I feel like I've got a good 7 or 8 years at the top.
Yeah.
When you look at kind of the Messi's, Ronaldo's, Lewandowski's, Ibrahimovic, all kind of getting better as they reach their early 30s.
Yeah.
I'm still 27, so I've still got hopefully a long way to go. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely there. I'm still obviously quite a ways off, but, you know, I'd like to think consistently I've scored 20 plus in my injury-free seasons in the Premier League. So if I can do that for the next kind of 4 or 5 years, then it'll be there. But
you want them records though, don't you?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I didn't. I think if I get to the end and I haven't broke that record and the Rooney England record, then I'd probably be a little disappointed in myself, if I'm honest, because it's definitely there if I carry on doing what I've been doing. So I guess, yeah, it'll just be a great sign of consistency over many years. Yeah. I mean, Shearer's record is incredible when you think about it. 260 goals. So I guess it's just that little bit of motivation there just to push me and hopefully go beyond that.
And I know, right, that if I go into a big fight, one of these guys, and he beats me, then obviously I'm not good enough, because I know that I put in that much work and I've sparred the best and I've done everything that I possibly can. So if I lose to a better man on the night, I'll shake his hand and say, fair play, pal, you're a good fighter. But they don't have that attitude because they want to make excuses why they lost, or this was wrong, that was wrong, I've hurt my foot, I've hurt my leg, I've had a bad training camp. And they can't face reality of what's happened. And that's it. But I've never lost a fight.
People say
to me, I don't think I'll ever lose a fight. No, I don't think I will. I don't think there's nobody out there to beat me. They're all businessmen, like Deontay Wilder, Anthony, whoever is in this era that I'm in. They're all about business. They're all about making money. They're all about doing other business ventures and being celebrities on telly. I want to be a movie star. I want to be this, I want to be that. And I'm just the same old G sitting here in Morecambe drinking me coffee. And I don't really care about all that sort of stuff, business and whatever. But I suppose, like, I come from like a business background. I was earning money at 12 years old. So for them, it's new. But for me, it's something that I've done all my life. My dream from being a little kid was to beat Klitschko. When I was only young, Klitschko was a world champion, so I was always looking at him. And then when I'd completed it, it was game over for me. I didn't want to continue. Plus, I was mentally unstable. Like, going into that fight, I was very depressed and down and anxious. And I always had that goal of beating Klitschko that kept me on the straight and narrow path. But after that goal was taken away from me, I had nothing else that I could focus on to give me that drive. And it was just like total downward spiral, and I just didn't want to live anymore. I was happy to die at 27. I was happy to finish. That was it. Nothing or nobody could bring me back. Not my wife and kids, didn't care. Didn't care about nothing. Every day I woke up, I just wanted to die. It was a crazy way to be, but only people who understand, like, who've been through depression and all that sort of stuff will understand what I'm saying. And when you're so down and every day you wake up, even if it's sunshine and it's grey and you're negative all the time, and you're infectious, you infect people who are around you, make them negative and down, and you push everybody away. You just want to be left alone, like in a dark corner and left alone. But my problem is I was eating as well, comfort eating. So I was just getting heavier and heavier and more down and depressed and depressed and down. And I never thought that I'd ever return to boxing or anything like that. The furthest I thought I'd ever go, if I didn't die, was padded room.
What was you like at home with your wife at that time?
Terrible, non-existent. I'd go out for days on end drinking.
What was she doing? Was she ringing you?
She'd be ringing me. I'd switch my phone off and they'd be thinking, right, he's killed himself now. He's gone. And they'd be phoning around everywhere, looking for me. Have you seen Tyson? I can't get hold of him for 2 days and I think he's killed himself. Because I was always like, yep, this is the day I'm going to kill myself. And I even attempted it as well one day. And it wasn't good. It wasn't a good time in my life. It was just dark, lonely, horrible place. And I never want to go back to, ever.
I'm excited, but I always get a little bit sort of anxious, nervy before these interviews. I don't know, I can't stop thinking about his eyes. Every time I look at a picture of him or a video of him, I just think his eyes and look, you know what I mean? It's like that, that stare, that seriousness about him. I got like a little nod, and then he'll kill me. A little nod like he's gonna kill me.
I back in my my room, I read, I go on the phone, SMS, bim bim, my wife, starting war. Oh my God, I think, hey, how I back in home? I call in Sergey, hey Sergey, change please and the ticket, maybe fly into Poland.
Yeah.
I call in my friend, hey, yeah. Go in a car into Poland, sit in the car, go in the customs.
Yeah, into Ukraine?
Yes, my friend call, hey, car and wait you, okay, no problem. We sit and go to Kiev. Maybe 300 kilometers in Kiev, you know, it's traffic.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in Kiev.
Yeah, going and, this way?
Yeah, going as my car, it's one.
Going this way?
Yeah, it's going as going to Kiev. It's a post and Polish and the stop. Hey, okay, how, Alex?
Yeah.
Where you go? I go home, okay. I go, and you know, it's silence, you know, the silence, and I silence, yeah. Go my my room, my wife, you back? Yes, I back, I kiss, okay. I let them sleep, maybe 2-3 hours,
yeah.
Back, and bombs.
The bombs?
Yes. My... my friends, 41 people live in my my house. Who go in a birthday?
Yeah.
We live 1 month. I go in the army of Ukraine. I have my gun and I go. My wife, where you go?
You go to fight?
Yes, I go in the army. Yeah.
Crazy, yeah.
Yes.
What do you make of the insult when he says you're, he calls you rabbit, you call him belly?
Він каже, що коли Тоні назвав мене тигром, а я сказав, що я білий кролік. Тоні Беллю сказав, що це, типу, блін, це звір, це мощний тип. Я кажу, та ні, Тоні, ти що прикалуєшся? Я білий кролік. White rabbit.
I'm not a tiger, I'm white rabbit.
And then you call him belly.
Tyson Fury, it's belly. Big belly.
You think you're going to punch that belly?
Yes, of course. Every time.
Is Manchester City right now a cloud actually over the Premier League? You talk about sort of other clubs trying to compete with you. When they look back in years
to come. Manchester City were fifth in the Premier League, sixth in the Premier League, there's not half the amount of moaning about it.
Of course.
It's because we're winning. But at the end of the day, you look at the transfer window just gone. Transfer window used to be a great day. Some of us, ringing sick at work. Transfer deadline day, we'd sit there, who are we going to sign? The biggest deal was a Formula One driver moving. It was 55 million. So they've even killed the transfer window. They've killed pre-season. I think the Premier League, from the outside looking in, is a mess.
Yeah.
And I think all this with Everton, Forest, Villa, what we said, is a mess. And I'm just waiting for the fair trial. And if we're guilty, I'll put my hands up and there'll be no...
And you'll take all that back?
Yeah, but I bought one in replica European Cup, so I locked myself in a room with that. And take it away.
That's why I didn't want Qatar United, because I feel that fans end up parroting this kind of state-sponsored PR and all these statements and stuff, trying to defend your football club and that. And I get it, football fans are emotionally invested in their team, so they're going to do that. But it's mad, isn't it? When you're trying to defend literal financial doping by a sports-washing state.
It's a legend, isn't it?
Oh, come on, bro.
Are you a lawyer?
Bro, are you just sat there and defending them? Are you a lawyer?
No, I just said...
Everyone,
I just said
bro,
allegedly.
It's OJ.
I know as much about it as
it's
you know. You know nothing and I know nothing.
All right, nah. Simple. City's success is you're just
Come
on, bro.
You're hurt. It's obvious. You're a Man United fan, you're
no,
hurt.
No, I'm not hurt. Obviously, my team's
crap. Every week and you're hurt.
But I'd rather be beaten by a Liverpool that is genuine success than just... Then just doped. It's literally you're losing against someone.
Well, isn't it open to that?
Juicing, bruv.
That's what
everyone's hoping for. These have spent £1 billion. They've spent £1 billion because they're not winning. Apparently, it's our fault. It's easy to blame
Manchester
City.
We know where the money comes from,
and
I'd never defend the Glazers. I'd never defend the Glazers, though. Just like I wouldn't have defended us if we got Qatar.
You had a march.
You sat here and went. You sat here outside the stadium. You can't say you because I wasn't there. There's probably about a couple of hundred people.
Well, there's always a couple of hundred people. Even Glazer out, probably.
You know, a couple of hundred people at City.
You know what I mean?
But how can you sit there and go, we're not state owned? But you literally called them Etihad. You literally called your team and the owners a state.
Who did?
You, just then when you were talking. You said...
sponsor, the
Etihad. You also referred to the owners as a state, but...
I feel like Jerry Springer here.
Right, your dad's here today. Ted, come on, in you come. Ted, in you come. Come and stand round here.
Oh, Teddy, Teddy.
I'm going to say sorry for anything he says.
We have to get legals out. Not swearing.
All right, I'll try not to.
Ted, you watched him every single step of the way and you must be so proud, obviously, now the film's coming out this week. It must be good to reflect upon everything that's happened.
Yeah, it's been an absolutely wonderful career for him. And as a dad, I mean, there aren't many dads that wish their son had a son like him. I mean, he's been brilliant. And his career's been cracking.
Mm. Where does he get the stubbornness from, yeah. Ted?
Obviously from me. But now he's a good lad. Mm.
Just to talk to us about, obviously, family. And, you know, you've obviously travelled all around the world, but you're probably more settled now than you've ever been in terms of, obviously, finishing your career.
Mm. Yeah, I've always said, and it's like everyone, you know, my family's the most important thing to me. You know, as much as I love football, as much as I've had, obviously, the career that I've had and played for the teams that I've played for, my number one thing is always my family. But like my dad talks about, my mum and dad never missed a game. You know, no matter where I was playing, apart from, obviously, LA, it was a little bit too far from East London for them to travel every weekend. But other than that, they were at every game, every youth team game, every reserve team game, like your mum and dad were, you know, and the community that we had, you know, at that time, in the youth team, it wasn't just us that were friends and teammates, it was our parents as well that all hung out, they all went on holiday together, they all travelled together, and it was a special thing. But the family part for me is the most important thing.
What's your thoughts, Ted, in terms of obviously now your football career's finished?
I will say, you know, everybody goes on about Cantona, but this man here.
You're too kind.
Oh, he means his lads.
But the team wouldn't have won so much if it hadn't been for him, because I've got probably 1,300 videos of David's games and whatever, and England games. But especially Man U, and this man here, he worked his socks off for the team. Mm. And it proved, you know, when he got booked against Juventus, you know, he still played like he, you know, was going to play in the final. But it's been incredible. Football to me has been my life. And I've been there for him, and, you know, vice versa.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you support your kids. Mm. And that's what me and his mum have done.
Well, it's a beautiful place to finish. And all the best to you.
Thank you.
With the film. And thank you very much for coming on.
Nice one, Bex.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How many have you had, Roy?
Which one of yours are we going to... Which one? How many times have you sent off?
Not that many. No. I think seven or eight.
All right.
That's a lot. It's got to be more than that.
No.
For a midfielder, no, for a combative midfielder, yeah. It's not a lot.
I'm hearing 13.
You're hearing wrong.
You weren't off to send off.
Absolutely not.
How many times has Roy sent off? Do we have any stats on this? We've definitely got.
I'm going to say seven or eight.
We've definitely got 11. Right. So let's just work through these now.
Let's have a work through.
If I'm wrong, I won't have any cake.
Right, the first one was the FA Cup final. Semi-final, Villa Park, sent off for a stamp on Gareth Southgate.
Yeah, and he deserved it.
Still getting red.
Sorry? Are you going to comment on all of them?
The second
one. Gareth was on his back. Obviously, the defenders never be on your back, you know what I mean? Always be on your feet.
Second one, 1995, August 28th, early in the season, Blackburn at Ewood Park, dismissed in an ill-tempered
match. I was unlucky with that one. No, I was. That was two yellow cards. Second one was for diving. When I was taken on for, I think it was a penalty.
You dived?
No, I didn't dive. That's my point.
The third one. The Premiership versus Middlesbrough at Old Trafford. Yeah, Keane continued to be dogged by a red mist and he was sent off for the third time in 6 months.
Yeah, that was a bit silly. Fjortop. Remember the striker?
Fjortop.
Yeah.
Janaga.
Yeah. What did you do?
I tried to punch him. I think we won the game.
Tried to punch him.
I didn't connect really.
Fourth one, Premiership versus Southampton at the Dell.
Yeah.
Keane was sent off again as United lose 6-3.
Right.
What were you sent off for then?
I didn't know you lot.
I played the game.
Well, you were old.
I don't remember.
Looking at you.
You lot were all out there.
Goals. Yeah, you played well, obviously. We gave up six.
I know. It was a kit, though.
I feel like we're in court and you're reading out allegations.
Yeah. How many?
This is his rap sheet.
Where are we now? Is that four?
That's four.
The fifth one is the FA Cup semi-final at Arsenal at Villa Park, where it says Keane was somewhat unfortunate.
Was that
sent off for two buckable offences.
Exactly. Was one in
Overmars?
No.
He came over and tackled Overmars.
Overmars, yeah. I think I was covering for you again. You know. And that was Ellery. Ellery set me up four times. Yeah.
Did you have a bit of a beef with Ellery?
A bit. Was he a principal?
I had a problem with
some,
Ellery as well.
Some posh school.
Yeah, Harrow. Harrow.
Is it? And he had that look over me.
He had that same with me.
Irish. I was definitely looking down at me.
I was thinking, yeah.
I said to him, book me in the tunnel before the game. Sarah's going, no, he's going to book me. He set me up three or four times.
Like a class system thing.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. He was looking down at me. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Without a doubt. I got the same vibe from Ellery.
Thanks. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
There you go. We were all right with Harrow, weren't we?
Yeah, Ellery, yeah. Great guy.
6-1, Premiership versus Newcastle at St James's Park. Keane was again dismissed for collecting two yellow cards.
Yeah.
I saw him lose it. I saw that one.
Then.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, but do you know what? I was more with the team as well then.
Our team or your
team? Just we gave away a goal, I think, towards the end. I don't know if you were playing, but Wes was poor for the goal. I remember I was more angry at Wes. I'm sure. I hope Wes was playing, and you know when they wouldn't give you the ball back, one of them.
Yeah. When he's trying to get the ball back.
Yeah, we're 7-0. Did I think anger management classes started by then?
One. Well, that's it.
The seventh, Charity Shield versus Chelsea at Wembley.
Oh yeah.
A red card for a reckless challenge on Gus Poyet.
Yeah.
Was it reckless?
I enjoyed it.
Why are you that angry? What are you doing?
This is Charity Shield.
This is the happy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we have to put a marker on early in the season.
Jesus.
What part of the game was that early on in the game?
I'm not sure.
Did you win it?
I'm not sure.
Oh. He didn't care.
What was the challenge, if you don't mind me asking?
I think he was shielded and I think I just went up yeah, and just... I know, I think right down the back of the calf.
Oh, yeah.
Sore ones. Yeah.
Oh.
Jesus.
Shame. Eighth, the Premiership Premier League versus Manchester City at Old Trafford. Of course, yeah. A straight red for a disgraceful knee-high foul on Alfie Haaland. I'm just reading out the description of what was on the papers at the time. Like,
yeah, but you didn't help either.
I didn't help with what?
Running off to the linesman, saying it's only a yellow. Is that true? It's true.
Yeah.
Gary ran over going, it's only a yellow. So when you say that to an official, he's going to go, well, that must be a red. Why would you say, it's only a yellow? Don't even book me.
So I'm at fault for basically your being sent off.
But I don't think that tackle was that bad. I really don't. I know it looks bad. You know, when a player does a somersault.
Yeah. But yeah.
But the damage is...
It was knee high, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I was never going to injure him in that tackle. You can't injure a player with that type of tackle. As we know, if you play the game, you know when a fella's trying to injure a player.
Yeah.
It's just the fact when someone does a somersault, it looks kind of worse than what it was. And it was a City game, and it was a rubbish game, and it was a bit... I think we were all frustrated. I think we'd just been knocked out of Europe a couple of days before it. So...
I remember watching you walk off as well.
And I'd been sent off. You know, I got injured. I'd done my cruciate up at Leeds.
Mm. And people tend to against him?
Yeah.
Well, obviously I tried to trip him, and again, players... He was stood over me when I'd done my cruciate, which was a bad injury, and he was saying some nasty things when I was injured. And I just thought, listen, well, obviously, we'll meet again, you know?
What's the ninth? Because, like, no. Gone past the seventh.
No.
This is going to have to be an extended episode.
We're at ninth. We're at ninth. 2001, Premier League, Newcastle at St James's Park, dismissed for a second successive season at St James's Park for throwing the ball at Alan Shearer. He then made an attempt to lash out at the striker as he made his way off the field.
I thought that was one we were talking about earlier.
No, the one earlier was for two yellow cards.
Oh, right. Okay. So no, yeah, that was the one I was angry with. Wes and the...
You forgot.
Yeah.
You forgot one.
Right.
And I forgot. There's Porto as well.
So there is more than seven.
Tenth.
Remember, you said there's no way 13. Remember, you said that. Go on.
It's not 13. It's definitely not 13.
Sent off by Uriah Rennie in injury time of the 1-1 draw after elbowing Jason McAteer following a number of heated exchanges throughout the game.
Yeah. You forgot that one.
Yeah, but I should have.
Okay.
He deserved that.
Jason McAteer.
He was your Irish teammate, colleague.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
I wouldn't go that far.
Were you mates or not?
Absolutely not.
No. Oh, okay.
Just because you play with somebody doesn't mean you're mates. There's
but at international level.
Oh, again, do you know what? What you used to get to meet players who showed their mouths off.
Yeah.
I didn't mind lads kicking me or booting me, honestly. But McAteer, as usual, had plenty to say for himself.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't even I didn't deserve to be sent off in that game. Absolutely not. If you ever look back at it, I didn't even catch him.
Yeah. 11th.
Wow. Still going.
February 25th, 2003, Champions League versus Porto at Stadio de Dragao. With his side trailing 2-1 in the first leg of the first knockout round, the red mist descended for Keane again. Sorry, I'm not trying to antagonise you, but it's just the reports.
It sounds like you're enjoying it, don't you?
Brilliant. This is
With four minutes remaining, the Irishman needlessly trod on the Porto keeper, Victor Bai, as he tried to chase down a loose ball. I think I remember that one. I think I was playing.
Yeah. No, that was... I felt bad after that one. That is letting the team down.
Yeah, what's happening? When he's going, obviously he's a captain, where are you feeling? Because you're seeing him like, oh, what's wrong with him? Could you say something to him when you get in the dressing room? Did you say anything? Did any of you lot say anything?
Truthfully, Ridey, no. Listen, it wasn't. I couldn't take criticism, but any time lads came in or the manager came, I would be feeling bad. Don't worry, I wouldn't be sitting there going, like, relaxed about it. So I think the players would recognise when someone's feeling bad and going, "Yeah, no point in going there."
Did you apologise?
I'm not sure. I must have apologised once or twice.
The manager would say something like, "What the hell?" If he thought it was like a needless sending off, like me at Tottenham against Gilles Niller. It was stupid. I mean, I was already on a booking and I went for him a second time. Gary, what the fucking hell are you playing that, son? That's what you'd get. And that was it. That'd be it, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, the guilt would be kicking in. You're right.
Yeah, the massive guilt. Yeah. I mean, you feel terrible.
Sometimes the manager used to come in and say nothing to you,
that's worse.
It just looks at you with disgust and you're like...
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, back then, there's not the WhatsApp group where you get home and write a big long message of apologies.
Yeah. Is that what happens?
Yeah, sometimes I think you get that on a night, you get home and you're like, oh, look, I'm really sorry.
No, but no player's ever either come in and had a go at me, to be fair.
No, but I don't think I'd go to other players.
But we've never done that. We never come and have a go. Even when Eric done that, where Eric kicked the fan, none of us ever came in after the game. Eric, you're a bit old.
What did you know what happened that night when Eric kicked the fan?
Yeah.
In real time?
Because he was just being substituted.
Yeah, and again, we talk about anger and the emotion, and that's why we all played the game. And Eric was obviously been sent off, hadn't he?
Yeah.
And he's walking off, and that happens. That
in the moment, you don't, that's the last thing. This is what I'm saying. So I can't even compute why I've done that to the referee.
Yeah,
like when you're going off, and then all of a sudden, he shouts what he shouts. That's it.
Was the 18,000 fine, was that the damage to the referee's room or your wage?
I just keep picturing him with this little portable TV.
You know what I was trying to, at the time, I was trying to figure with my agents. I wanted to pay them. I wanted to pay them in pound coins. 18,000 pound coins, because you have to pay it yourself out of your own account. They want it. And I was desperate to do it, but like at the time the manager I was with, he said, you can't do that. That's thing. I was so angry. I could not get over the anger of that one.
OK, so going back to Roy, we can't...
I got sent off once for Ireland.
So there you go, that's 12. And we think there's 13, but we've only got... We've only got 12 at the moment.
Yeah, it's not 13.
One of the most sort of, incredible things that I've heard you say since you left, and you've not done many interviews, was around that a couple of players had said that they didn't want to be captain.
Yeah, there was...
We always talk about leadership, don't we, at Manchester United? Where are the leaders? Where are the people who have sort of got... And I'm trying to get into a situation whereby how do you get to a point in your career as a football player where you don't think it's a good idea to take the captaincy of one of the greatest clubs
but
in the world?
But that wasn't... No-one said no to be the club captain. It was just in certain games.
So they said, I don't want to be captain for this match? Yeah.
But they didn't want to say it themselves. They've got other people coming up to me and say that.
Wow. So what, their representatives?
Hey?
Other
coaches.
The lads, our coaches.
Like, as you do, you don't go up to the manager, do you, yourself? You get someone else to do it for you. So
did they?
That was a bit disappointing.
Oh, you know.
No, you don't. we didn't.
No.
It's a different generation. And it is a complete...
What do you think
Generation
of that,
Z, Gen Z.
What do you think when they done that, Ollie, and then someone comes up, what's your initial reaction to...
No, it's like,
he actually doesn't want to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's petty. Two, it's like...
Lacks ambition.
It makes me feel a bit worried for them. In the sense that what state of mind are they in to actually turn down one of the greatest sort of accolades that you can possibly have? And actually, I don't think of it as being, they're weak. Or I think they must be really in a bad place to actually shrinking almost.
To bottle it.
But the thing is, it's strange, and I don't think we would understand, but so many players said no to do the pre-match interview. Mm. So you had always the go-to.
The three questions. I mean,
three questions.
I mean...
But you have the go-tos. Yeah. Bruno always did it, Harry always did it, Victor did it, Scott McTominay did it. Yeah, David did it.
Yeah.
Luke Shaw did it. So you have the same, but the other, I've worried about the questions before, so I prefer not to do it. It's like...
Ollie, do you think that is them as individuals or just the negativity around, actually, it's Manchester United, everything I say, everyone picks up on it.
I think it's
actually
both.
Scared of criticism.
It's a bit of both. Yeah. It's a bit of both, because you're scared of the whole reaction, maybe. And you understand players, the mental health, some of them, I've dealt with more mental health problems in staff and players than could be... I couldn't say anything of that here.
Imagine a young kid and then you're getting the captaincy of Man United. It's a dream come true. Yeah. Like, it's really sad that that's where kind of the game had gone to. Do you know what I mean?
Is.
Like, scared to take it, I suppose.
Yeah. Surely that's got to be part of the recruitment, isn't it? You find out what you're dealing with in a player, because at some stage, especially if you're going to sign for United and a club of that stature, you've got to have a player, any player, you don't know what could maybe have the character and the... To end up in a personality to be a captain. So if you've got somebody...
But that's where that character really comes into when you're playing for the big clubs. Mm. Is that bit of character, again, I always talk about wanting the ball when you've got 70, 80,000, when you're losing a home.
Yeah.
That's, to me, that's bravery. That's where the character comes in. Because all these players, they're certainly talented. We've seen them at the big clubs, but it's just the bit underneath that. It's that personality.
You know, you're talking about traits. Sort of maybe mental health problems as well as not just sort of mentality as a footballer. I mean, I'm just... thinking of ourselves here. Obviously, we do big Manchester United games. You're the manager. Yeah. We're given big opinions.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and probably we say things and probably don't realise the effect maybe it has on players and certainly social media. I mean, how aware are you or the dressing room of things getting picked up by we saying? And do you think that does affect players?
Definitely, 100%. Wow. You know, when you criticise players or teams, tactics or talent, but when it goes above that, it is because there's so many around who watch this, listen to this, and then they're on the social media, on the Twitter and all this, and they're right, and if they don't read it or hear it, yeah. friends, yeah. agents, managers, even here, you can't even turn up here without agents and managers. Some of you, I don't know who.
Is it when it goes away from sort of tactical?
When it
game,
goes to, but, about character. person, character.
If we said someone was lazy or...
But laziness, that's...
Lack of leadership.
I think they listen and think about it more than you think.
Yeah. Right, if you get one right, you win this round.
Go on, do it.
No.
It's my gift.
I'm too excited.
It's my gift.
I'm too excited. Right.
It's my gift to you. No, it's my gift.
Have
to
it
you.
Back.
Should
have
I take the gift
you,
back?
Please.
Jermaine Defoe!
Wrong.
Right.
I think there's anything.
How are you going to pick Jermaine?
Rugby's first trophy.
Oh, my word.
Is that it?
That's it.
Come on. Campione, campione, ole, ole. We didn't shake their hands.
Yes.
We didn't shake their hands. Sorry.
Humble and victory.
All the best. All the best next year. All the best next year.
Righty. You're on there as well, pal.
Yeah, I didn't want to say myself. I didn't want to say myself.
On the...
Right, I want a replay of him saying Lampard.
Can you send it through?
He did say Lampard.
Please,
that was one of the ones I got Lampard.
I said Lampard.
Off straight away.
Actually, I'm not sure I said Lampard.
Come on.
Gentlemen, who's taking it home first?
I think Roy's the captain.
Fantastic.
Honestly,
great quizzing. Just went at the end there, though.
They had us the round before, just, I think, Pad.
I'm not. You're like Arsenal, you just ran out of steam. Two injuries, you know what I mean? Suspension.
Yeah, I've already mentioned it at Arsenal like that.
Why would we turn to each other?
Well, congratulations on being the winners of the first ever Football Cup.
Gary.
Well done, lads.
Hey,
I'm
50% sure.
Are you going to let that go or what?
At least they're not competitive. That's the main thing. They've settled down a lot since they've retired. Not competitive in the slightest. Look at that. Fantastic.
Ian?
Yes.
I'm going to start with you.
Lovely. Okay.
Who was your secret Santa present to be gifted to?
Jill Scott.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, easy. Should I give it to her now?
Perfume.
It has to be. Yes. And the criteria was that it had to be under
£20.
£20.
Yeah.
20. The only thing you can buy a woman is perfume.
Yeah. There you go, Jill.
Lovely.
Thank you
Hopefully
so
you
much.
Like it.
Thank you.
Did you actually go and buy this?
Yes. Yeah. Went and sorted that, yeah.
You've wrapped it and everything. I haven't even wrapped mine.
Have a look at it. It's called Snugsy.
Who the hell's that?
Look, show it.
Is it a dick?
It is.
Take it out.
Yeah, it is.
Take it out so we can see what it is.
That's so lovely.
Little teddy.
To be fair, when I see you, I give all these a cuddle and you never give us a hug. Now I can give you a hug.
At home. I'm not.
That's not my scene.
Are you happy, Jim?
Yeah.
I make sure I use the eyes as well. Look how weird.
Thank you so much.
You like that? You like that, didn't you?
It's nice.
It's the only time I'll be going
well,
to
you know, 20 quid. I think I'm.
I want to know where the facial's from. He's just got that text off my tail.
No.
The only time I'll be going to bed with a dick.
No. Oh my God, Jill.
You could have said big.
Thank you.
Oh God, you got
that's
me.
That's the end of the episode.
That's it. That's it. That's it. That's done.
We've completed podcasts.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.